Okay, so here we go. We're moving now into part two. It's part two of It's All About Food. And first, I want to remind you again to sign up for the Food Revolution Summit if you haven't done so already. And if you've been to responsibilityandliving.com, the links that weren't working are now working. Thank goodness. And also, what else did I want to remind you of? Call in questions. I want to hear them. 1-888-874-4888. Let's have a conversation. Okay, now on to T. Marie Hagenberger, who is a registered dietitian with a master's degree in public health and a nutrition professor at you'll have to tell me how to pronounce that, River College, and a professional speaker working in her community with corporate wellness clients, including her role on the worldwide wellness team for Apple. Awesome. Team Marie's got a new book out called The Foodie Bar Way, and we're going to be talking a bit about that. Welcome, Team Marie.
Hello. Yes, I'm calling from Cosumnes River College.
Cosumnes. Where is that?
Sacramento, California.
Oh, okay, I should know that. I should know about that. Cosumnes. Cosumnes.
It's a great place.
Okay.
Yes.
How are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. It's my birthday. I know your birthday is Friday.
Oh,
April's
yay!
A wonderful month.
Can I sing happy birthday to you?
Oh, my goodness. I would be honored. Yes.
Okay. And I want everybody to join in because this is my special happy birthday song. Let's see. My voice isn't warmed up, but we'll see what happens. I'll do it fast. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, T. Marie. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. Woo!
Thank you so much. That's wonderful. Yes.
Yes, I like birthdays.
I couldn't think of a better way to spend it.
Yeah, I had a really fun birthday, and I'm hoping you're having a fun birthday too.
I am. This is a highlight for me. I'm so excited to talk with you. I've been a listener and podcast follower of yours for years and years. I was so excited to be able to meet you at Berkeley's Earth Day a couple of years ago. So this is kind of just full circle.
Yeah, well, it's exciting when we're passionate about something and you meet and connect with others who are passionate, and somehow that passion grows exponentially, and now you're doing all kinds of wonderful things.
I know. I feel so fortunate, so lucky. This adventure with my book has been a really interesting step because I've been teaching at the college level nutrition for, I'm going on year 17. And this is sharing with people my work in a different way. It's just fantastic. My students would often say, well, I just wish that you could come home with me. If I could live at your house, then I would eat the way that you eat. I would get all the nutrients that you get. But I can't, you know, I said, well, you can't come home with me. But now I can send a little bit of me home with them. And so that's been really exciting because the feedback has been so positive, and it just warms my heart. And I tell my students, keep sending emails, keep letting me know what you're making. And even last night I got a picture of one of the recipes, the scrambled tacos, from a student, and her dad had come to a presentation on campus. She brought her dad. I always encourage students to bring family members. And he came along, and it was fantastic. And then I got this email, my dad and I loved it. This was wonderful. It just warms my heart.
I totally understand. Now, let's back up a little bit. You've been teaching nutrition for 17 years.
Yes.
And have you eating the plant-based foodie bar way all those 17 years?
No. I actually was omnivore. Interestingly enough, we had a foodie bar for our wedding 16 years ago. We didn't necessarily think of it as a foodie bar, but we did a pasta bar because we had been to so many weddings and were so disappointed with the food that we wanted everybody to have their own customized pasta. And so we had all the ingredients set out, and we had several sauces, and we had several of the pastas, and then the chefs just put the combinations together as people requested, and everybody walked away from the table with a perfect bowl of pasta for them. And that went over so well that we had kept doing that at home. But about, I think I'm going on year six now of whole food plant-based, completely 100%. And that, so as soon as I made that transition, then I couldn't teach anything else. I mean, I ethically, there's no way that I can provide recommendations for my students or anyone else in the world that I don't feel with all of my heart, you know, is the best for them. So it's obviously up to them whether they take my advice, but at least on my end of it, then I need to be true to what I know. And so that was a transition because, as you can imagine, the textbooks are not, vegetarianism is a tiny little piece of the protein chapter with big words usually of caution, at least historically, you know, that's been hit. So I present the information, you know, that the textbook has, and then I give them, now, that's one side, and then let's give you the whole picture. And then so I provide all of the information that I have access to about the plant-based piece of it, and the behind-the-scenes research. Dr. Greger's videos play a huge role in my classes because they're short, but they are all research, so it works phenomenally. They don't want to just hear from me that, you know, this that dairy does X, Y, or Z to people. So I provide that, and then I give them challenges, including the 21-day kickstart, PCRM. I started doing that several years ago, and I didn't expect much of a response. I didn't want to set it out there with these gigantic expectations, you know, where you get all this, you know, tons of extra credit. I actually made it pretty small. I did 15 points of extra credit for 1,000 points over the semester. So it had to be people who really wanted to do it. And interestingly enough, the first year that I did it, over 2 months, I expected to have maybe 15 or 20 students, and I had 130.
Wow, good for you. Yay!
Oh,
that's wonderful.
Oh, it was. And so what it spurred in me was actually several different things. One, I started a chartered club on campus called TOP, which is Thrive on Plants. And I wanted a place for my students to feel comfortable being plant, completely 100% plant-based, or plant curious, or somewhere in the middle. And so our little mission is to help us fulfill our potential by making plant-based whole food choices, joyful movement, participating in joyful movement, mindful practices, and lifelong learning. And so we have been growing, and we, you know, started with the logo and those types of things. And then this year we did something that was just amazing. We just finished up with 2 weeks of Your Fork, Our Planet, which, you know, I dream up these things between running down the street and flossing my teeth, you know, and helping my kids with homework. But we showed Cowspiracy several times on campus, and then I had Dr. Openlander do a Skype question and answer, and then we had Lanny Mulrath do a presentation of 5 steps to a sustainable plate. And then on the Wednesday of the second week, we took over our quad area, and our top club set out 10 tables that taught students how to be more self-sustainable. So we had everything from what to do with a rice cooker besides cook rice, how to use a crock pot to cook while you're sleeping or working, how to save water with your fork, how to make dressings and sauces with your blender, all those types of different things for students, how to save money at the grocery store. And everything was 100% plant-based. All the recipes we gave out, I was so proud of them. It was just phenomenal. My students that had walked around, I asked them, so did you learn anything? And they said, oh my goodness, we learned so much. This was incredible. So we're going to start doing that every semester and have that top tips on the quad to have students connect with their power to really take back their health.
Well, what I like about that, very often, especially on Earth Day, when we're talking about climate change and the environment and the things that people can do, we always hear the same recycled, useless, well, not useless, but not the most powerful information, like using energy-efficient light bulbs and making sure you turn off the water in while you're brushing your teeth or when you're putting creams in your hair or in the shower or something. These things are okay, but they're not going to have the impact as eating plant foods versus animal foods on our water supply.
Right. No, and people are just unaware. They just don't have that understanding. And so then to bring the piece together where, okay, now what can you do and how can you become more self-sustainable? Because I do see that as a theme with my students where they get the environment piece and they appreciate that maybe even more so than some of the other generations through, you know, different times in the world. But they also really want to be able to take care of themselves. Mm. And so to be able to do that and to find those answers within themselves is fantastic. So it was interesting because I was listening to your interview with Deborah, and she was talking about dealing with health issues later in life. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, worked in the hospital as a dietitian when I first started working. And that's why I left the hospital, because my impact was so muted, because it was such a, you know, after the patient already had 7.3 diseases, you know, and I'm talking to them about the renal diet because their kidneys have just failed, where I thought, no, I have to be able to make an impact earlier. And so when I started teaching, I still get goosebumps when I'm talking to you about that, because that gives me so much joy to be able to get to students at this point in their life and a lot of people may think, well, they think they're invincible. You know, I mean, they're 18 years old. Mm-hmm. And some of them do, but you know what I found is they're really concerned about their parents.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's not themselves, then they're coming to me going, okay, we were in the emergency room last night because my dad's blood pressure spiked and he was in a hypertensive crisis. And then, you know, they'll say, but he's kind of old. I'm like, okay, like, how old are you talking? Well, he's like 48. I'm looking at them saying,
right, hello.
Oh, sweetheart, no, this is way too young, you know, to have these issues. So I find them motivated, frustrated with the resistance that they're getting from their parents, interestingly mm-hmm. enough, when they bring the information home. But then we just talked about the idea where I said, you just have to show them. You show them with your actions. You don't try to tell your parents what to do and what they're doing is wrong. You know, you show them how good you feel. You know, you're making these changes, and then they may come around. I had a student who did this quote, and I'll never forget it. Do it for yourself, show enjoyment, and be willing to share. And mm-hmm. for them, it can start with them instead of just trying to get home and convince everybody in the household that this is what everybody should be doing. You know,
well, I love what you're doing, and those students are so lucky to have you, and all classes in nutrition should be the way you described it. And in hospitals, were you still an omnivore when you were a dietitian in the hospital?
I was. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, that was a long time ago. Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, that's one of the things that frustrates me. I spent some time in a hospital, and I've visited other people who are in hospitals. And in New York, it's getting a little better. Mm-hmm. But I felt like I knew so much more than the dietitians that were in the hospital when it came to nutrition. And then the other thing that just makes my brain want to explode is the food that they serve cancer patients, cancer-causing foods to cancer patients. They give heart disease causing arterial sclerosis growing foods to coronary heart disease patients. It just makes, well, what they're doing is they're creating return customers.
Well, and it's just a huge disconnect. I mean, there's it's just this lack of understanding and willingness to be open to new information and information that's contrary to what we've been learning. And I do, I tell my students, because they all come to me thinking that this is what they've been raised is how, that's just their reality. And, you know, I tell them, I wasn't born into this. I learned this after I had already been through all my schooling and I had already been teaching. I said, but it's kind of like the, you know, the world, people used to think that the world was flat and we now know it's round. And I said, but there are still people that meet the Flat Earth Society. They still have meetings. I just don't go. So that's okay. You know, that we just need to be open to not always having the answers that we've always had and go with the information that makes sense to us and makes sense to our bodies. My students, I mean, one thing that nobody can argue with is that they've never felt better. And we're talking about someone who isn't 75 years old with 12 diseases. We're talking about an 18-year-old who says, I've never, ever felt better than when I've switched over to eating 100% plant-based. And so there's no arguing with that at all, which just makes me smile because that I even, it was kind of crazy. I have to share this with you. Yesterday in class, I had a student who said, so because our 21-day kickstart ended, you know, on the 21st, so I said, I had one of my students, he said, okay, and he's has a Hispanic background and traditional family, and he said, so after the 21-day kickstart, and he said this in front of the whole class, he said, I was done. So I'd been craving meat. And so he said, so I went to Texas Roadhouse, which is this crazy chain here in Sacramento. It's all over. And he said, and I ordered ribs. He said, and I couldn't eat them. I said, what do you mean? Well, it happened. And he said, well, they came, and I looked at him on my plate, and he said, I couldn't do it. He said, I didn't want them. And I said, I said, so what did you do? He said, well, I just asked for a to-go container, and I took it home. And he said, and I think he said he gave it to his dog. And I said, and then I came in with, well, you know, there is vegan dog food. I said, but that's a whole nother discussion. I said, so what you're telling me here, I said, I can't give this to people. I said, if I could give this to people, you don't understand how excited that makes me. I said, not only could you have it, because I tell my students, I want to move you from I can't have it to I don't want it. Whatever it is, whether it's soda, whatever it is. And
it's
so,
not deprivation.
Exactly. So he said, oh, no. I said, because you could have had it. He said, not only could I have had it, I bought it. He said, I spent money on it. It was sitting in front of me. I mean, and this, it was not cheap. He said, and it was in front of me, and he said, nope, I'm done. I'm done with it. And I thought, this is why I came to work today. You know, it's just like, wow. Oh my gosh, that is golden for me. I mean, because my teacher said I shouldn't be eating this. That is not how it works. It needs to be from them. And so those kinds of responses are really, really important to me. And interestingly enough, I had mentioned to you yesterday in class, when I asked my students why being healthy was important to them, that was one of the things I have them do, journaling and things like that. And more often than not, when a gentleman in class, and they're all young, raised his hand to share in front of the whole class, it was, I want to be there for my kids. And I always ask, well, do you have kids? No, not yet, but when I do. And I thought, nice, thank you for stepping up and thinking about the future. So that gives me so much hope. I am hopeful beyond any doubt because I see the power with this, with these students and the potential that they can have on their own family's health and then that ripple effect that, you know, goes out into the world.
Mm.
So,
what a great story. Now, you have a book called The Foodie Bar Way. Let's dig into it.
Yes, I love this. This is so fun. So my students typically come to me without any experience cooking. Not only do they not have experience, but they tell me they have no money. You know, they spend their money on fast food and cell phones. And then they also tell me that they don't, they just don't have confidence because their parents didn't cook.
Mm-hmm.
So I spend a lot of my time in class talking about cooking. And I always, you know, say it doesn't matter how many milligrams of or micrograms of folate you find in asparagus. If the way you cook it is stringy and nasty, nobody's going to eat it. So, we talk about making soup then. You know, do not serve vegetables that have not been treated well to people. But I always want to give them ideas. So I had a student actually who a couple of semesters ago said, that's it. She said, you need to just write your book. And I said, well, what do you mean? She said, okay, I go to your website, I print out all your recipes, then someone comes over, they eat your food, and they take all the recipes. And she said, I printed these out 3 times. I'm done. She said, just write your book. So in between, again, brushing my teeth, flossing my teeth, and running down the street and grading papers, I wrote The Foodie Bar Way. So it is a collection of bars. So my friends and students, you know, always ask me, how do you do it? You don't miss a beat. Since we've switched over to and transitioned over to 100% plant-based, I have not had any missteps going backwards. And I try to do everything possible to make things from scratch, but I'm also really busy. So the way that I do it is I set up bars at home. I have 2 kids. I have a 9 and a 12-year-old. And I make the components typically over the weekend or during the week, depending on what's going on. And then when everybody gets home, they customize whatever they want. So if it's a baked potato bar or if it's a pizza bar or a pasta bar. So we have all of the different ingredients ready to go, and then everybody can customize. Because you make something, you know, one day and olives are great, and then the next day the kids don't want olives. You know, I mean, it just so I do not want to throw any food away, and so it drives me crazy. So if we keep this kind of separate, then it makes it easy. And the way that I, with my students in mind, the way that I decided to do it was each bar has a basic bar and then a raising the bar section. So with my students in mind, or just when it's really busy, you just need the basics. It could be something as simple, you know, as a roasted baked potato where you eat the skin and you have a can of chili beans that, of course, has no animal products, and then some greens and some avocado on top, just something very basic. Or raising the bar, you would make my seasoned black beans, or you would put my 2-minute collard greens on top, or my garlic mushrooms. And so that way you can, if you have time or you want to start experimenting, you can upgrade some of those ingredients and maybe even play with something like a purple sweet potato. You know, we have those at our fantastic farmers markets. So that is the idea. And then after each bar, there is an example of how we do the bar at home, because I still have students and people who want a specific recipe. So it turned out to be 94 recipes and 32 bars, and the response has been fantastic because it really kind of just meets you where you are, whether you want to spend some extra time or whether you just need to be quick. It works really well for kids, too, because you can bring them along as a little team member, helping you prepare some of the different components, and then they get the autonomy of choosing their favorites from what's offered.
I just had a very silly thought, and I'm going to apologize before I say it.
Okay,
I
will
break
myself.
You said you have 94 recipes in 32 bars.
Yes.
And it sounded like a song to me, like you were singing the 94 recipe titles in 32 bars of music. Maybe you should do that.
Oh, yes. Maybe I should. No, I never thought that it would be that many recipes, but when I started putting those bars together, I thought, well, and then this would be good, and I want my Power Pesto, and I want this one, and I want that one. So it just ended up being huge, and my husband took all the pictures. My husband and our friend, a photography professor here at school, Catherine Mayo. So between the two of us, or three of us, we took all the pictures, and my students also say, I need a picture for every recipe, so we have them. So it's fun. It's 300 pages. I never thought in my wildest dreams that it would be that big. I'm very proud of it. Thank you.
Well done. Now, okay, if you're not getting this, listeners, dear listeners, this woman is a very happy, energetic, bubbly individual and passionate about what she does and is bringing the light and the love to plant-based eating. And it all comes out in her book. It's a very happy, just have fun when you're eating kind of book, right?
Yes. And it's something that I want people to not feel intimidated if you don't have an ingredient. That's what the bars are set up for. Just use something else in the list. You know, it's very approachable. And it keeps things exciting and not boring because you can keep changing things up. And so the subtitle is, so it's the Foodie Bar Way, one meal, lots of options, everyone's happy. And I really feel like there's so much discussion now about being divided over what to eat. I don't like this, and I'm, you know, if someone's gluten-free or if someone doesn't do dairy or these types of things, that this is really a way to bring people back to the table and to share one meal together. Even though everybody's plate may look a little different, that we're all sharing the same meal. And I don't think that that can be under or overestimated, the value of that, because that is something that we've lost to a certain extent in our society, is that connectedness around food and around just being connected at mealtimes and taking the time to be mindful instead of just being distracted with media or, you know, what have you. So this really, it's been great. I had a student who wrote a review in our little local newspaper and said that in her house, this is a quote from her, living in a household where we are polar opposites when it comes to healthy eating, I found the book to be extremely useful in stifling complaints from either side. So that's huge. I mean,
Marie, I can't believe we're at the end of the program, and it's really been great speaking with you. How do I say this? I'm just more excited listening to you talk now than when I was flipping through the book, which I already loved. So thank you very much for joining me and for doing all the wonderful work that you're doing. It's just incredible.
Thank you. Thank you. And one last thing, we are starting a plant-based nutrition and sustainable agriculture certificate program at our college. I am just thrilled. We got that through curriculum, which is huge.
Yes, very good. I'm applauding you here, and everyone else should. You are amazing. Thank you for being on the planet.
Thank you.
And happy birthday. Let's celebrate you, Tea Marie.
Thank you, thank you.
Okay. Thank you again for joining me. We just have like a minute left, and I wanted to mention, if you go to responsibilityandliving.com, that's where I live, I have a couple of brand new recipes. One of them is so easy, and I've just been like nuts over it. We juiced fresh ginger and we made like a cup of ginger juice. It's really hot, really spicy. Diluted it 4-1 and froze this mixture into cubes. I'm putting these ginger ice cubes in everything and loving it. So it was really worth the time to do that. Visit responsibilityandliving.com and find out about that. And that's it. All you have to do now is have a delicious week. Thanks for tuning in love with me. I'm Karen Hartglass, and you've been listening to It's All About Food. Bye-bye.